You know, I remember back in 1910 when I first met Noah Robinson. You know, that's
yes.
quite a way back.
It's a long back, time
yeah,
back.
That's about 50 years ago.
Which one that?
Oh, yeah, 60 years ago.
60,
Well, I heard about this Noah Robinson and Pauline Johnson.
Yes.
And I wasn't so interested like well, I am now.
Yes.
But I wondered. And after a few years, she came to my notice quite a lot, you know.
Yes.
Candy shops are named after her, you know.
Yes. Yes, well, she's...
To memorialize her name, you see,
yeah,
in Vancouver.
She's worthy of something better than a candy to be named. She's worthy of something better than a candy shop to be named.
I didn't think so. I didn't know whether that candy shop was.
Oh, well, of course, yes. They use her name for that.
Yeah.
She probably got a... Possibly got a, some royalty on it or something of that kind,
yeah.
you see.
You know, Noah Robinson was a pretty interesting man.
Oh, very fascinating man.
Yes, very.
Very.
Very attractive man, and the, his knowledge too, you know.
Oh, and amazing. He was,
but he was, I don't know, what a gentlemanly man.
Oh, was, wasn't he?
I never met anybody.
No,
I,
wonderful man, wonderful fellow.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And so he didn't consider himself anything.
And such a keen sense of humor.
Yes, oh, yes.
Yes.
Now, going down from, when he come up and worked on Masculine, along where we lived, you see.
Yes.
Stayed with us. He's been in, my mother used to have him out for meals and
yes.
put him up overnight. And another man named Mr. Buckley, a very well educated man.
Yes.
He bought a place in on the Clearbrook Road, you know. He's going to start farming. A man with a master of arts.
Yes, yes. Tell me, Mr. Hawkins, how did you, when you were born 90 years ago, just east of here, how did you do for hospitals and doctors? Where? How did your mother do it?
Well, Mr. Ward, it's a very notable thing that very few people ever had to, very few that ever went to hospital.
Yes, yes.
And there was no sickness, and the closest doctor, well, was a Dr. Underhill, an Englishman.
Oh, yes.
At admission, he was there in 94. Now, you can figure, that's about 75 years ago.
He became the medical health officer in Vancouver.
Yes, yeah, after he left mission.
Yes.
I remember where his house was. I know. He had a tremendous big house and he had a big family.
Yes.
But he was a portly man with a nice, beautiful beard.
Yes.
And, he was a professional looking man.
Did you meet his brother, Canon Underhill?
Hmm?
Did you meet his brother, Canon Underhill?
No, I didn't know.
He was a remarkable man, too.
Oh, well, that's so.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Underhill was a notable man.
Yes.
My father went to him and in 94 he found
yes.
that he had told him that he had heart trouble. He had heart trouble, you see.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, that was the only doctor that I know around.
But what about when babies were born? Was there a nurse when the babies were born?
No. I was born with Mrs. Sam Lehman. You remember Tom and Cass Lehman?
Well, yes. That's right, yes.
Their father came in, a man named Sam Lehman, came in 1879 into Mount Lehman. They came in 1879. My father came in 1874 on Masculine.
Yes.
So they were about the second people to take up property in Mount Lehman. Sam Lehman's wife, Mrs. Sam Lehman, that was my accoucheur. It's on my birth.
Midwife.
Yes, it's on my birth. My birth certificate.
How interesting.
Yeah.
The school, how many were at the school when you were there?
Well, I started school when I was 8 years old. I couldn't say how many, but there'd be about probably two dozen.
Two dozen, yes. Who was the first teacher?
Well, the first teacher that I went to was a man named Sutherland.
Well,
D.W. Sutherland. I got a picture of him on a school group at my place.
Yes.
I got a school group that was taken 80 years ago.
How interesting.
We've seen
it. Oh yes, we saw that, yes.
Yes, 80 years ago.
And where was your nearest neighbour then?
Our nearest neighbour was on the James Farm, do you know? Where the James Farm is across on the Maskey, W.A. James. It was Nicholson Place.
Oh, Nicholson Place, yes.
The old original Nicholson Place. Just about 3/4 of a mile across on a
farm. I know.
They're the only people we could see.
My.
The only house we could see.
And what was down in Masqui Flats? What was down on Masqui Prairie?
Just as God left us. Except the East End. and a man named Page in there.
Page, yes.
Yes, Page and one or two others on that play land up there.
Right.
But we're down our end, nobody. Nobody else.
Did you ever go anywhere?
Yes. When I was a young fellow, when I used to go to mission.
On a pony?
Sooner, Abbotsford. Oh, well, there was nothing in Abbotsford.
Nothing in
Did you go on a pony? How did you go?
Pony, go horseback. I lived on horseback one time, but near. And I lived in water for 2 months in the year. Did water, lived in it, swam in it, waded in it for 2 months.
What happened?
High waters, the high waters that came in.
What about the cows? Where did they?
Well, that's what I was looking after, cattle. Yeah. See the ridges, the high, you see the ground was undulated.
Yeah.
There was ridges, you see, that were water, the backwater. It was the backwater, it wasn't the Fraser River water, you see, that accumulated behind the dams, you see. No pumps, there's no pumps in, you see. And the backwater and the ridges are out.
Yeah.
See, well, you were on them ridges, that's where the cattle fed. And that's what I had to go for the cows. I had to.
Did you have to carry feed to them? Did you have to carry hay to them?
No. They got grass on the high places.
Yeah,
the ridges, you see.
Not in the winter?
No, in the winter. My father cut hay.
Oh,
he had 80 acres of hay ground fenced off. Long before I was born.
Yeah.
And he cut hay in there. He kept that right up till he died.
Did he cut hay with a scythe?
No, he had a mower. He had an old mower that was made in Ontario.
Well, how interesting.
Yeah.
And now when you went to mission, you went down the Mount Lehman Road to the landing there, and then across on the...
We cut across to the... our place to the Indian Reserve, you know, there's an Indian Reserve, and got on the dike and went up to mission. I was in mission when I was 14 years old. He took me up to mission. And the Debrecy Store, that was the old original store, it was on the riverbank. The difference of all this.
But how did you get across the river?
On the bridge. On the Mission Bridge.
Was the old bridge there then?
Yes, it built in 1885.
Oh my. Looks like it too.
Well.
Yeah. Well, you didn't see the original bridge.
No.
It is made of wood.
Oh, I see.
It was the trusses is all wood, heavy timber, square timber.
Was the CPR running then?
Yes, the branch line was into Huntington.
Yes.
Cross over on the bridge.
The mission was very small then. Just the Catholic mission on the hill, St. Anne's.
Well, yes, and there was stores of mission and a station, you know.
Yes.
There was some houses around.
Yes.
But nothing like this.
No, of course not.
What did you do when the animals were sick? Could you get a vet?
No, there was no vets. We very seldom had a sick animal, not to amount to one.
Didn't you?
No.
What did you do?
People were, the old timers and the old timers very seldom ever went to a doctor.
No.
And you take those two boys of Phillips, they were born in 17. Well, they were just up on Roach's old place, just back of my old place, you see. Well, I remember Phillips come down excited down to where I on my old place, and he wanted to get a rig and a horse to go up and get the doctor, or a nurse to go up and get his head mask for, you see.
Yes.
And while he was going to get it, the youngster was born, just as natural as infant.
Oh, dear.
Freddy, yes.
Doctor from Brunette, is it, from Langley, used to come on the bicycle around here, we first came. Doctor...
Mars?
No, not Dr. Mars. He made two.
McBurney. Oh, yes, I remember McBurney.
Used to come around the bike with these
Mars, roads. And Mars.
Yes.
I seen Mars the first time I ever met him. I was in uniform.
Really?
I met him on the County Line Road. It's down here.
Yes.
About 2 miles, isn't it?
Yes.
3 miles down.
2 miles, yes.
Well, I met him on the hill, on the highway. He was on horseback. He was a medical officer.
That's right. Yes.
He was riding a horse going east.
Yes. Going to the camp at Burnham, really.
Yes.
Yes. How interesting.
Wasn't there a small hospital at Abbotsford in that day?
No.
No hospital in that. Only when we came here.
No hospitals. The closest hospital was not Westminster.
Westminster. Did you ever go into Westminster from out here?
Oh, yes, my father used to go in often. Take the steamboats. That's the only... There were steamers on the river from 1910.
That's right. And where did you get on the steamboat?
Down Montreal Landing. They just landed anywhere along there.
You know where we were there?
Yes.
Land anywhere, don't matter where it was.
That's right.
In a flat bottom boat.
That's right.
They don't go about 2 feet of water.
Stern wheeler.
Oh, we used to hear them old boats from where I lived on the old place where I was born. You could hear them tooting for they opened the bridge. Four whistles. They opened the bridge.
That's right.
Bridge.
Yes.
And it was opened by a horse one time.
Really?
And first opening it was two men went on the end of two long iron rods to open.
Capstan.
And then they got a horse on it.
Capstan.
Capstan. Capstan.
Capstan.
And then the man got a horse, kept a horse on the bridge, had a building on the bridge and kept a horse. And a man named Hunter, I remember him well, a man that he was the bridge man. Fine man he was, still. Way back about 75 years ago.
Yes. Now, your father, after he was discharged from the engineers,
yes.
What did he do then?
Well, he lived in Westminster. He put in 5 years, I think it was 65, he was discharged. And they gave him the choice, they could go back to England or take up property here. You see?
You were given a script?
Yes, they had a military grant. They had a crown grant and a military grant. The military grant was...
160 acres?
150 acres. The crown grant was 178. So it left him with 328 acres of land. And that fell into my possession. I hadn't sense enough to keep it.
I remember.
Yes, and what he did, he was a bricklayer and a carpenter. So I guess he was working around New Westminster, you see. And in 1874 he came up in on that crown grant and the military grant. And he took up a crown grant right alongside it for another engineer. Right alongside him.
Mr. Chapman?
No, I forgot the man. He never came there, never lived there. But my father took it up for him. Olin's lived on it. That was part of Olin's place, right? 150 acres right along south of it.
Yes.
Handy piece of ground, but
it's wonderful. Beautiful home is going there now. There's some lovely homes going up on your land.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, how much would a farm worker be paid in those days?
You couldn't tell us. You couldn't sell a farm.
No, how much would a worker be paid?
Oh, you'd give them for $15 a month.
$15 a month?
I remember in 94, my father hired a young fellow about 16 for $15 a month.
Well, that's exactly what my grandfather paid. Yeah. In the 1870s, my grandfather paid a boy £5 a month, that's like $15,
yes.
And a suit of clothes.
Yeah.
Always had a suit of clothes as well.
Yeah, no, we didn't have no suit of clothes here.
And they slept in the barn.
Well, no, they slept in the house. Where are they?
No, they slept in the barn on the hay.
That is in England.
Yes.
Well.
You see, the wages were the same.
And then your father then, after working there, and then he came here and married here.
Yes, he's married when he was on the farm.
And your mother?
You heard a man named Miss Anderson. She, I'll tell you her history. She was born in Australia.
Yes.
And her father was a seaman and her mother died and they adopted her. A man named Perkins, Mr. and Mrs. Perkins. Perkins was an Englishman that emigrated to Australia. And his wife was an Irish woman. I don't remember them. The old man died in 1911. And Mr. Perkins was a kind of a rover nature, you see. He said, of course, to make a trip at that time from England to Australia was a long trip, you see. So my mother, I was probably about 12 or 15, as far as I can find out, when he came out on a sailing ship from Australia. And they were 4 months on the voyage to the Sandwich Islands. That's Hawaiian Islands now. They call them the Sandwich Islands.
Yes.
And they landed in the Sandwich Islands, and they lived there I don't know how long. It wasn't very long. And then he came over to California, to San Francisco. The old gentleman, yes. And then he went back to the Sandwich Islands again. And he was just made up his mind to go back to Australia. He wanted back to Australia. When he went down to the wharf at the Sandwich Islands, he met a ship and he met the captain. And he was had a cloth with the captain. And of course he was a young man then. And the captain told him, "Why don't you come up to British Columbia?" Says, "There's the country that's just opened up. New country, gold rush, you know, it's a wonderful country." So Perkins, instead of going to Australia, he took the ship and came up to Victoria. And that's how my mother got into this country.
By the back door.
Yeah. Well, then they lived in Chilliwack. I know they put some time in Chilliwack. And then they finally located in Mission, just east of Mission, up on a hill there. And had a fruit farm, strawberry farm. And they were there when the railroad went. And I guess they made a few dollars, you know, selling and boarding railroad men and selling fruit and all that sort of stuff. And that's where my father met my mother, and so I don't know how that happened, or just how, but that's how they got married. And they were married about probably 1878, because I was born in 1880. That's when I come to the first inhale of the vital air. So that's how I can tell you about it.
Yeah.
And I remember my mother telling me about, she told us a lot about Australia. Oh, what an awful place for poisonous snakes and tarantulas and so on. And the blacks.
Not now.
They weren't civilized like they were now, you know.
No.
Oh, they were.
They used to throw spears across.
Well, they had these boomerangs.
So. Yes.
And you had to be careful with them. She called them the blacks. She had them.
Yeah.
But the poisonous snakes, it was terrible. And the Sandwich Islands, I remember telling us that the place they got their water, they had to take it up and stay 2-3 hours to get up with some water that dripped out of a rock.
Right.
Just a little bit of a stream.
Oh, shocking.
And the Sandwich Islands.
Yes, and yet there are mountains there.
Well, oh yes, it's a volcanic area, you know, you see. Yes, there's Hawaii and there's a volcanic...
Yes, I've been to Hawaii, yes.
Have you? Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, my mother told us a lot about it. I don't know which one it was on. There's a series of islands.
That's right.
So that's some of the history, or that's the backlog history, you know.
Haven't you ever been ill in your life?
Hmm?
Have you ever been ill?
No.
Isn't it marvellous?
Well, I'll tell you, I put 2 days or 3 days in the hospital in the Royal Club Inn in 1904 for a poisoned finger.
Yes.
And it was a very mild blood poison, just mild. And when you went down to a doctor then, he just simply sent you to the hospital. You didn't have all the trouble getting in like I have now.
No, you were ill.
Just sent you right up there. No red tape, nor signing books and waiting.
You were ill about 18 years ago.
Eh?
You were ill.
Yes, I took pernicious anemia.
Did you?
Yes, about when I was 71.
Mm.
I contracted pernicious anemia.
Yes.
And that's not very good either.
Did you have injections?
Yes, I take them now.
Yes.
I've been taking them for 18 years.
Yes. Did you take liver? Liver's good for
you. Liver extract injection.
Yes.
Goes in the arm.
Mm.
She puts it in.
Yes.
Well, you love to do it,
have
you?
I've been taking it now for 18 years on an epidemic syringe.
Well, well.
Only just twice a month, that's
all. Yes, yes.
That's what keeps you going.
Yes. We had a check-up with a doctor.
About a month ago,
and he said there's no trace of pernicious anemia.
No.
Dr. Boot.
Yes.
You know his Dutch one.
Yes.
And when I got done with him, he said, "Mr. Hawkins," he said, "you are in good shape."
Good shape.
"Mr. Hawkins, you are in good shape." Tested my heart and got out of a test. But he doesn't know all of them. I got trouble in my legs.
Yes.
I can't tell you what it is, but I can't do the walking.
That's right, yes.
And if I stand any time, I get stiff.
Like me, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But for a man of my age, he said I was in good shape.
Oh, you are, yes.
But however, I am very thankful for that.
Yes, you know, yes. You look fine.
How long did you stay on the farm down here with your father? Your sister?
Well, I was there. He left the farm to me, and I vacated about 3 years after I wanted to get out and do some travel. I wasn't really a farmer. I wasn't interested in this issue. I was more, what I was interested in is in as a mechanic and carpentry and all that sort of thing. But I went back again. I was there till 1935. Mm-hmm. And I sold right out of the Depression. Mm-hmm. Most remarkable. Didn't get a very big price. I only got $4,000 for 62.5 acres, and it nearly all cleared.
Terrible thing, though, isn't it?
With a house 35 by 40 on it, built in 1911.
Who bought it?
A man named Robertson, Mr. Robinson, a civil engineer. He was an Englishman, very fine man. He had a permanent job in Alberta for a big company. And he took a notion he wanted to go farming. So we came out and got contact with Roach, you know. And Roach phoned me one day, wanted to know if the place was still for sale. I was making arrangements to stay there, see. And I was batching then, I was a bachelor, and I had quite a lot of stock for the answer. And, well, I said yes. So we brought him down, and I didn't expect to sell it at all. They could come and look at it. There's been several men looked at it, but this man was interested, and so we finally closed a deal for $4,000.
Giving it away, $200,
and $200 commission out of that.
$200 rich?
$200 commission. Loach ran the car.
How much did the man that bought that place sell it for?
Well, he sold it to the man from Alberta, and I think he got $8,000, but it was a going concern with stock and everything. But I got about with the stock going off my sale, I had about $800 more, I think, about $4,800, and he sold it for $8,000, and the man that he sold it to, sold to a man, he was a lineman, and he had a big raspberry farm in Huntington. I forget what his name was. He was a lineman, and he had a few dollars being a lineman. And I don't know what they paid for it, but finally it went to $35,000. And the last man bought was
$35,000.
You see, if I'd have kept all that property, sure. 288 acres. You see, 40 acres my father was in for the old Dighton tax, you see, Mr. Sword. A man named C.B. Sword, you've probably heard of him. They, Sword and a man named Derby built the first dike, private men, you see, they had capital, you see. And my father was in debt. There was a Dighton tax, and he settled it all up at one payment. He did. Gave it 40 acres to Mr. Sword. Cleared off the Dighton tax, so it was all clear. Mm. No, the Sword died. Yeah. I left 288 acres. And 200 acres was on the flat land, just like yours, flat in this field is. And if I had kept that to this day, I'd have got $150,000.
All of that?
Yeah.
Well, all of that, yes.
But I have no regrets at all. None at all. I'm glad somebody got a hold of it. I'm contented. I'm one of these men. Godliness with contentment is great gain, and that's what I'm living under.
Yes.
You'd have had to pay a lot of taxes on it.
Oh, taxes. But you could have made quite a lot of money. I could have made lots of money.
Yes, you couldn't
have. Mrs. Ward, I could have saved $1,000 a year.
Yes, you couldn't have.
That was in the earlier years.
Yes.
And now, at the present time, I don't know why farmers are kicking. I know I could make money. I could put away $2,000 a year if I had that farm.
Were the tailors in around there when you were there? Doug Taylor's grandparents?
Yeah, yes, they were in Mount Jimmer.
Oh.
Oh yes, I knew the grandparents.
Did you?
Great-grandfather, his great-grandfather, not his grandfather. I knew his grandfather and his great-grandfather.
Is that right?
Oh yes.
He was part Indian, was he?
No. I must tell you when I left here. The old great-grandfather was, they got that place through an uncle of Mrs. great-grandmother's uncle took that place up. That place they live on now in Mount Jimmer, you know where it is.
Yes.
A man named Jim Bangs. They were from Nova Scotia. Bangs was a bachelor. And then, I don't know how many years he stayed there because I was too young to know that. I heard my mother, they knew him and knew him well. And Bangs left it to him. He says, here's the place they saw you can live for your lives. Mm. To his niece, which was the old lady, Mrs. Taylor, and old Mr. Taylor. That's his great-grandfather. Mm. Well, the great-grandfather had three sons, John, Herb, and Ed. And Ed Taylor got working on the steamships, or the steamboats, that was built by a man named West. He had a sawmill on that bluff going down on the river road. A very fine man, married to a, I guess he was a half, she was a half-breed, she wasn't a full-bred Indian. And they had a family called West, and they built a steamboat and had it operating on the Fraser. Ed Taylor was working on that boat, and they had several daughters, and he married one of the daughters, you see. Mm. And that's where the Indian blood got in. There's very little Indian blood there.
Yes.
In,
yes.
And his grandfather was a son of the old original Mr. Taylor, you see. So that's Doug's great grandfather. Mm. See, his father died just here about 2 years ago.
That's right, Buster.
Busser.
Yes.
And he was a son of the Ed Taylor, and Ed Taylor was a son of the old great-grandfather.
I see, yes.
And I knew the old Mr. Taylor well, right old fellow, fine old fellow. Well, Doug was after me when I was down to the picnic this year. They got me down there, and I wasn't even picnic. They wanted to have me there, I don't know, I guess one of the oldest fellows around. And he was after me what he was like.
Yeah.
And I gave him a description. He was a shipmaster, shipbuilder, building ships, and he was good with the adz, getting up the timbers for building tugboats, you see. And he had a curly beard, it wasn't too long, you know, and he used to smoke a clay pipe and up on his mouth. He was a fine old man, you know, he was from Eastern Stock, you see. Well, the old lady only died about 36. 37, 47, 57,
67.
33 years ago. She died 30 years, 101.
Good grief.
She lived, the old lady, the old grandmother lived to 101.
Well, Doug Taylor would have known her then, wouldn't he?
Hmm?
Doug Taylor would have met her.
It was
33
years ago. 33 years ago.
He's more than 33.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he is. I suppose he is, yes. He probably said, oh, yes, he'd seen her.
Yeah.
Now, where did Doug Taylor's mother, where was she from?
Oh, well, she was, there was two people, a man named Forrester, bought Forrester's daughter.
Oh, yes.
Sam Nicholson married one, and Doug Taylor, Foster Taylor the other.
That's right.
She was a school teacher.
She was a teacher. She was down at the school when I was, down at Dunnett School.
Oh, yes.
When I was substituting there.
Yes.
That used to be the, did you know Mr. Lefebvre?
Oh. Well, do I know him?
Tell us about him.
Oh, he was a great gentleman, he was.
Yes.
He was from the Isle of Jersey, I think.
He would be.
Yes, that name? French.
Jersey Island.
Yes, yeah. French slave, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yes, he was a, you never seen him, did you?
No.
Oh, he was a neatest and a conventional gentleman you ever saw with a, he had side whiskers and clean shaven, you know, around here. But the whiskers we have, you know them side whiskers.
Dundreary.
Yes, Dundreary. Yeah, he was a pious man. He was a Christ man, Mr. Lefebvre. And a very fine gentleman, well educated, you know. His brother George, his two brothers. Well, he was clerk.
Assessor.
Hmm?
Assessor.
Assessor and clerk too.
Was he? And he used to walk all over the municipality and even the number
of. Used to walk everywhere. They tried to sell them cars, and they couldn't do it. The cars were taken. They couldn't sell them cars. But people knew him, so well, they pick him up, he said, give him rides, you know. Well, he was a very fine man, straight as a dyke. Oh, yes. Merely a very small man. And very calm, collected, you know. Excite him.
Now, how long since he died?
It must have been about 37 years ago. About 37 long years since he died.
Yeah, just before we came here. That's right, I remember.
John Lefevre. And then there was a clerk that was contemporary with my father, John Ball. He lived in Pimpin. He was the clerk for quite a number of years. Well, he had several clerks, but John Lefevre, I think, was the... He held the job the longest of any that I know of.
Did you... Were the Pearden family there when you were born down here?
I beg pardon?
Were the Pearden family... Was the Pearden family...